The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We'll stick with politics, but we'll take a break from Irish politics. We'll talk about US politics. Anthony Zerker is with me, the BBC's North American correspondent. Anthony, you're very welcome to the show, despite the circumstances, the dark circumstances this time round. What can you tell us? What's the latest on this high school shooting in Georgia?
Okay, the shooting took place in a small town a ways outside of Atlanta. It's a suburb of Atlanta now, but a distant suburb. This was a teen, a 14-year-old boy who was attending this high school. He left in a morning class and came back and tried to re-enter the classroom. They wouldn't open the door. He had an assault-style firearm, a rifle, and he opened fire in the hallway of that school. He killed two teachers and two of his fellow students, and then surrendered to security officers in the school. The school is closed today, but there are memorial services. There are flowers being laid outside the school. And we've also heard new reports today about an investigation that took place last year into this teen because he apparently made threats against the middle school, which is a school, a smaller school, a level below high school, threats of attacking or shooting a gun in that school, prompting an investigation. But investigators, the local sheriff, did not reach any conclusions about the seriousness of the threat. They warned the boy's father to keep the guns out of reach. And then it was summertime and he didn't return to school until just recently. And this is when the attack happened.
What has been the response of the respective presidential candidates, if any?
Well, Donald Trump briefly commented on it. He said it was the actions of a sick and evil person, which is kind of his response to any of these shootings, to say that it's an aberration and blame the individual who took these actions and not make any kind of larger policy recommendations. Kamala Harris, the Democratic nominee, like many Democrats, have called for increased regulation of firearms in this country, bans on assault style weapons like the one that was used in this classroom and greater background checks on individuals before they could have access to firearms. Obviously, this is an ongoing debate in the United States. And if anything, the direction of this, primarily because of recent decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court, is that gun laws have been greatly liberalized in this country. It's a lot easier to get firearms and handguns and take them in public than they used to be even just a few years ago.
We're going to speak to Matt Maher in a moment, former senior official in the Bush administration, and get his sense of whether this is a political issue or we're kind of beyond that point. But just sticking with presidential politics, Anthony, for a moment, the next debate is as early as next week. Is that right?
It is. It's Tuesday. I'm going to head there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Monday. This is the first showdown between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. Of course, there was a debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, who was a presumptive nominee back at the end of June, but Biden has since dropped out. Harris has become the nominee. And this is going to be very closely watched because this is the first time Harris is going to be on the debate stage with Trump. And there have been questions about how she might be able to stand up under the pressure of Donald Trump. He's a difficult man to debate against. And there are going to be tens of millions of Americans watching this. And there's still a number of undecideds who will perhaps base their judgment in part on the results of this debate.
Who has more to lose going into this debate? You know, we've seen the kind of the momentum shift, I think it's fair to say, after Joe Biden stepped down. And the most recent convention we've had, of course, has been the Democratic one. So that comes with a certain amount of attention. I guess does Kamala Harris on that argument, on that basis, have more to lose?
I think you'd have to say so, because she does have the momentum. Things are breaking her way recently. It's still a very close race, and I think it's going to be right up until Election Day in November. But she has erased the deficit that Joe Biden had to Donald Trump, maybe pulled even slightly ahead in some of the national polls and some of the polls in these key battleground states that will decide the election. So anything that could change the dynamic, change the trajectory of this race, would probably not be helpful to Kamala Harris. And of course, you know, these debates do matter, because the last one almost directly resulted in Joe Biden dropping out. So things can change after these debates.
Listen, before I let you go, Hunter Biden's tax trial is starting today, I understand. Just explain to us or remind us exactly what that is about, first of all.
Right. So he's on charges of avoiding paying about $1 million, about £1 million as well, I guess, in federal taxes over the course of a number of years back in 2016 to 2018 or so. And there are also allegations that he was getting money from foreign sources and kind of parlaying his connections to his father, President Joe Biden, and other Democrats in order to get all this money, which he wasn't properly declaring. Although there is a report now that he has offered to accept the results of a verdict of guilty, although he will maintain his innocence, but accept the results, take a sentence. So that is being considered by a judge right now. This trial may not happen. It may stop before the jury selection even begins.
Does the political relevance of this trial, has it faded somewhat, given Joe Biden's no longer on the ticket?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that that the attention being paid to this has diminished considerably. Mm. This would have been an extremely high profile case because the son of a president who is running for re-election. Now all of that's been kind of brushed aside because Joe Biden will not be president in just a matter of months.
Anthony, it's always good to talk to you. So thanks a million for that run through of the latest from the States. Matt Mayer, as I said, is with us. He was a former senior official in the US Department of Homeland Security during the Bush administration. Matt, thank you for taking the time as well. The shooting that we saw in Georgia, notwithstanding how appalled everybody, regardless of their kind of political colours, would have been having seen what happened there. Does this type of thing feed into presidential politics anymore? Are we likely to see it become a thing on a campaign trail?
You know, I don't think so, Kieran, simply because, you know, you're either pro-gun control and you're voting left, or you're anti-gun control and you're voting right. And the people who vote on that issue are pretty solidified there at this point. So I don't think it'll have an impact in that way. Where it may be interesting is if it gets raised as a, you know, another failure of the FBI, who had this kid on the radar screen, just like they had the Pulse nightclub shooter, just like they had the Fort Hood shooter, and yet they dropped the ball. And again, coming 6 weeks after the assassination attempt on Trump, where the Secret Service dropped balls. So this seems to be, you could make a broader case potentially that we have federal failures in law enforcement, and boy, that needs to get fixed.
Okay, so it is unlikely to be a feature in the campaign trail. The Hunter Biden tax trial, I mean, Anthony was always laughing, that's unlikely to be a feature anymore, is it either? I mean, up until a few weeks ago, one would have suspected this would have been a huge day on the election.
Yeah, so like with the plea deal, he's going to plead guilty, is what the reports are coming out in the last hour are. You know, the where it could be inserted into this campaign now is if Trump were to directly ask Kamala Harris next Tuesday if she will commit to not pardoning Hunter for his various convictions, because this would be the second conviction he's going to get hit with.
Okay, so we'll have to find out whether or how she answers that question. It brings us to the debate, Matt. I'll put the same question to you that I put to Anthony. Who has more to lose in this debate?
Oh, definitely Harris. I mean, just because, you know, she's gotten, what, 90%? Positive media, as Trump's gotten 80% negative over the last 6 weeks. She's got that little bit of momentum. I mean, they still predict Trump would win based upon how the battleground states will vote, but it's gotten much closer. And so, you know, with her not doing press interviews except for the one over the last 6 weeks, with her, you know, avoiding the kind of various interactions with voters where they ask her and ask questions like town halls and whatnot, she's built this pressure cooker of, boy, she better do really well because, right, all the marbles are going to be focused on Tuesday night.
You will know this as kind of a seasoned political operative, that we sometimes, when we talk about elections, us in the media in particular, we have an inflated sense of how many people are undecided. You know, very few people actually change their mind during a campaign. And often campaigns are actually about just firing up your base and making sure they come out and vote. That almost gets you over the line. So with that in mind, how are we likely to see Donald Trump, for example, approach this debate?
I think his game plan is just to let her talk, because when she talks off the cuff without a teleprompter, it's a disaster, right? She says things that make no sense. She's circular in her arguments. And so that's where he, number one, and number two, he probably needs to just, you know, ignore the moderators. And when he has time to speak, ask her questions. You know, do you repudiate the last 3.5 year agenda that you were the vice president for? You know, are you going to secure the border? Are you this? Are you that? Right? And in the economic pain that Americans have felt in the last 3 years because of inflation under the Biden-Harris administration, that's where he's going to focus. But to your point, you know, there are a declining number of undecided voters, and so what's going to be interesting is to see where each candidate can make up the math to get themselves to 270 electoral votes. Because, you know, you're down now to a very slender group of people in about 6 battleground states, and that's about it.
So, to a degree, the messaging we're likely to hear at the debate on Tuesday and in the campaign thereafter, I mean, is it more and more targeted at issues within those battleground states?
No, I think it's going to be focused on, you know, you, Kamala Harris, have ruined the economy with your inflation and all the things you guys have done. You've opened the border so that all these people are getting in here and they're murdering Americans, they're harming Americans. And then finally, you know, when I left the presidency, the world was calm, and now the world's all afire. And we need to get back to, you know, the policies I put in place that were very successful. And then she, of course, is going to be, you're a convict. Right. You're the 1-6-year guy. She's going to go after him on the personal level because it's kind of hard to hit him on the policy level other than abortion. But even on abortion, he's more moderate than the Republican kind of position typically is. So that may not be as good, but that's where she'll hit, because she needs to drive, you know, essentially female voters to the polls as much as possible.
So if we accept the logic, excuse me, and maybe you don't, but if we accept the logic that the momentum has shifted, and it has been with her over recent weeks, will the Trump campaign be looking at this as a possible inflection point? This Tuesday is our chance to kind of shift things back in our direction?
Yeah, for sure, right? Because it's going to be the first time, because no one considers the interview she did last week with Dana Bash to be a very credible interview, right? She didn't push back hard on anything. It was very softball-y. So this is going to be the first chance on the spot for somebody to really hammer Kamala Harris on her positions. Because as you know, Kieran, over the last 6 years, she staked out some very left-wing progressive positions on a variety of issues. And heretofore, she's not repudiated those. Her campaign has put out stuff. Anonymous people have put out stuff that she doesn't have those positions anymore. But she herself has not been pinned down on, do you still support X, Y, and Z? So that's really going to be the focal point for the Trump campaign.
Matt, listen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we thank you for taking the time. Matt Mayer is a former senior official in the U.S. Department of Homeland Security under the Bush administration. Before Matt, we caught up with Anthony Zerker, who's the BBC's North American correspondent.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.